أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله ثم الحمد لله. الحمد لله حمدا يوافي نعمه ويكافئ مزيده. يا ربنا لك الحمد كما ينبغي لجلال وجهك ولعظيم سلطانك. سبحانك اللهم لا أحصي ثناء عليك أنت كما أثنيت على نفسك. وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، ذو العزة والقدرة والهيبة والجبروت والملكوت والكبرياء والعظمة. وأشهد أن محمدا صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم عبده ورسوله، صفيه وخليله، حبيبه ومصطفى، بعثه الله بشيرا ونذيرا وداعيا إليه بإذنه وسراجا منيرا، فبلغ عن الله رسالاته ونصح له في برياته، فجزاه الله خير ما جزى نبيا عن أمته. اللهم صل وسلم على محمد وعلى آله وصحبه صلاة وسلاما دائمين متلازمين إلى يوم الدين. Dear Muslim brothers and sisters, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Holy Quran in Surah Ibrahim, وَإِذْ تَأَذَّنَ رَبُّكُمْ لَإِنْ شَكَرْتُمْ لَأَزِيدَنَّكُمْ وَلَئِنْ كَفَرْتُمْ إِنَّ عَذَابِي لَشَدِيدٌ. And remember when your Lord proclaimed that if you are grateful, I will increase you in favor. وَلَئِنْ كَفَرْتُمْ إِنَّ عَذَابِي لَشَدِيدٌ. And if you disbelieve, my punishment is severe. This verse of the Holy Quran teaches us that the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on his slaves increase and multiply by being grateful to him subhanahu wa ta'ala. Forgetting to thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala results into losing the grace and ni'mah which one enjoys. Shukr is one of the greatest acts of worship which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves most. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asks us in the Holy Quran to thank him always. He says in Surah Al-Baqarah, فَاذْكُرُونِي أَذْكُرْكُمْ وَاشْكُرُوا لِي وَلَا تَكْفُرُونَ. Remember me and I will remember you in return. Be grateful to me and never disbelieve. All success and prosperity comes by attaining the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The one who attains the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enjoys comforts in this world and in the hereafter. One of the ways of getting the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is by being grateful to him jalla jalaluhu. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِن تَكْفُرُوا فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ غَنِيٌّ عَنْكُمْ وَلَا يَرْضَى لِعِبَادِهِ الْكُفْرُ وَإِن تَشْكُرُوا يَرْضَهُ لَكُمْ. If you disbelieve, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is free from need of you. And if you be grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala approves that and is pleased with being grateful to him jalla jalaluhu. Those who truly worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and glorify him in the real essence of worship, always thank him subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَاشْكُرُوا لِلَّهِ إِن كُنْتُمْ إِيَّاهُ تَعْبُدُونَ. And be grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala if you indeed worship him truly jalla jalaluhu. Islam teaches us to be grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in all our life. That is why after eating we say Alhamdulillah. After waking up from sleep we say Alhamdulillah. After coming back from a journey we still say Alhamdulillah. This tells us the life of a Muslim rotates around thanking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala may reward him and bless him more and more. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam loved and practiced the shukr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this can be known from the answer he gave to Aisha radiallahu anha when she asked Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Ya Rasulullah, why are you doing all this to yourself? He used to work so hard in ibadah. He used to stand in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala all night, salawatu rabbi wa salamuhu alayhi, till his feet got swollen, salawatu rabbi wa salamuhu alayhi. Aisha radiallahu anha asked him, Ya Rasulullah, why are you working this hard? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has guaranteed you Jannah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is pleased with you. You have the forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for sure. Then why do you need to work this hard? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave an answer which showed how much he loved to thank his Rabb. He said, أَفَلَا أَكُونُ عَبْدًا شَكُورًا. Should I not be a servant who thanks Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? He has blessed me. He is pleased with me. He has promised me Jannah. Should I not stand the position of thanking him subhanahu wa ta'ala? One of the primary missions of shaitan is to make the human beings ungrateful. And that is why when he refused to bow down to Adam on the orders of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he said that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala narrates to us in Surah Al-A'raf, ثُمَّ لَآتِيَنَّهُمْ مِنْ بَيْنِ أَيْدِيهِمْ وَمِنْ خَلْفِهِمْ وَعَنْ أَيْمَانِهِمْ وَعَنْ شَمَائِلِهِمْ وَلَا تَجِدُ أَكْثَرَهُمْ شَاكِرِينَ. Shaitan says, I will come to them from front of them, from behind them, on their right, on their left, and you will not find most of them being grateful to you. We have to thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, dear Muslim brothers and sisters, for prosperity and success in this world and akhirah. Thanking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is for our own good. If we become ungrateful, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is unaffected. He says in Surah Luqman, reminding us that, وَمَنْ شَكَرَ فَإِنَّمَا يَشْكُرُ لِنَفْسِهِ. Whoever thanks Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that is for his own good. Gratitude is one of the biggest acts of worship, and it's among the purpose of creation. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah An-Nahl, وَاللَّهُ أَخْرَجَكُمْ مِنْ بُطُونِ أُمَّهَاتِكُمْ لَا تَعْلَمُونَ شَيْئًا وَجَعَلَ لَكُمُ السَّمْعَ وَالْأَبْصَارَ وَالْأَفْئِدَةَ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَشْكُرُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has extracted you from the wombs of your mothers not knowing anything, and he has made for you hearing, vision, and a heart with which you can differentiate between good and bad. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you intellect so that perhaps you would be thankful to him, Jalla Jalaluhu. لَعَلَّكُمْ تَشْكُرُونَ. Shukr is one of the qualities of success in this world and in the next world. Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma mentioned four aspects of success in dunya and akhirah. He says the first aspect of success in this world, in both worlds, is qalbun shakir, a heart which is always thanking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, a thankful heart. If you possess that, then you have one of the qualities of success in dunya and akhirah. The second aspect is walisanun dhakir, and a tongue which oftenly mentions Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, a tongue which is busy in the dhikr and remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala day and night. If you possess that, then you have one of the qualities of success in both worlds. The third quality is wajasadun ala al-bala'i sabir, and an enduring body, a body which shows perseverance and patience during pain and illness. And the fourth quality of success in both worlds, Abdullah ibn Abbas mentions and says, وَمْرَأَةٌ مُؤْمِنَةٌ, and a faithful wife who helps you in taking the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Most of us thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala subconsciously. Reflect upon your own self. You will find innumerable occasions when the hand of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has been holding you and helping you. The sincere slaves of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, those who sincerely submitted to their will to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, used to thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for his great blessings and numerous bounties. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions some of his sincere devotees who were his prophets too. He says about Nuh, إِنَّهُ كَانَ عَبْدًا شَكُورًا. Nuh was a grateful servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He says about Ibrahim alayhi wa ala nabiyyina salatu wa salam, shakiran li an'umih ijtabahu wa hadahu ila siratin mustaqim. Ibrahim always used to thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for his ni'mah, for his bounty. And he says about Dawood and Sulaiman, wa laqad atayna Dawood wa Sulaiman 'ilman wa qala الحمد لله الذي فضلنا على كثيرهم من عباده المؤمنين. We gave knowledge to Sulaiman and Dawood عليهما وعلى نبينا الصلاة والسلام. And they said, praise be to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They thanked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and praised him for the knowledge he granted them jalla jalaluhu. So you have to make the shukr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala a routine in your life. The ulama have indicated three ways in which a person can show shukr to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The first way is ash-shukr bil qalb, thanking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by the heart. And that is by harboring and intending good for all the creations of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, by not wishing bad to anyone. The second way through which you can show shukr to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is by the tongue, celebrating the bounties of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by saying alhamdulillah. The third way in which you can show shukr is through jawarih, through the limbs, using our external organs for doing that which is good. It's a way of showing shukr to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A Muslim should also practice sabr and patience when calamity strikes him. You can sail through times of difficulties and trials by showing sabr and patience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He who thanks Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when he is enjoying the blessings of Allah and becomes discontent when a calamity befalls him, when he is put to test by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then he has not reached the recommended levels of iman. In times of calamity and distress, there will be some good for us, provided we respond appropriately. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says in a hadith which is in Sahih Muslim, عَجَبًا لِأَمْرِ الْمُؤْمِنِ إِنَّ أَمْرَهُ كُلَّهُ خَيْرٌ. How wonderful is the case of a believer. There is good for him in whatever that happens to him. And none apart from the believer enjoys that blessing. وَلَا يَكُونُ ذَلِكَ لِأَحَدٍ إِلَّا لِلْمُؤْمِنِ. And none apart from the believer enjoys that blessing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If he receives bounties, he thanks Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the bounty brings good to him. And if adversity befalls him, he becomes patient. And the afflictions too bring good to the believer for being patient. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has clarified in the Quran that he will put to test the believing men and women. He says in Surah Al-Ankabut, Alif Lam Mim, أَحَسِبَ النَّاسُ أَن يُتْرَكُوا أَن يَقُولُوا آمَنَّا وَهُمْ لَا يُفْتَنُونَ وَلَقَدْ فَتَنَّ الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِهِمْ وَلَغَدْ فَتَنَّ الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِهِمْ فَلَيَعْلَمَنَّ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ صَدَقُوا وَلَيَعْلَمَنَّ الْكَاذِبِينَ. When we are put to test and trial, it's for our own good. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will reward us for being patient, and he will raise us in ranks. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, do the people think that they will not be tried simply because they say we have believed in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? This is a rebuke in the form of a question, meaning that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will put the believers to test according to their levels of iman. And that's recorded in the authentic hadith where Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, أَشَدُّ النَّاسِ بَلَاءً الْأَنْبِيَاءُ ثُمَّ الصَّالِحُونَ ثُمَّ الْأَمْثَلُ فَالْأَمْثَلُ. The people who are tried most are the prophets of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then the righteous ones, then the next best, and the next best. A man will be tried according to the degree of his religious commitment. The more pious he is, the more trials he will face. The stronger the religious commitment, the stronger the trials he will face. Going through trials and tests is the way to Jannah. The way to Jannah is not easy. If you think that the route to Jannah is easy, then you have a misconception. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-Baqarah, أَمْ حَسِبْتُمْ أَنْ تَدْخُلُوا الْجَنَّةِ وَلَمَّا يَأْتِكُمْ مَثَلُ الَّذِينَ خَلَوْا مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ مَسَّتْهُمُ الْبَأْسَاءُ وَالضَّرَّاءُ وَزُلْزِلُوا حَتَّى يَقُولَ الرَّسُولُ وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا مَعَهُ مَتَى نَصْرُ اللَّهِ أَلَا إِنَّ نَصْرَ اللَّهِ قَرِيبٌ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asks us a question and says, do you think you will go to Jannah when that which came to the people before you has not befallen upon you? They were tested with hunger and calamity and they were shaken. وَزُلْزِلُوا حَتَّى يَقُولَ الرَّسُولُ وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا مَعَهُ متى نصر الله؟ ألا إن نصر الله قريب. Till the messenger who was with them at that time and those who believed with him said, when will the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala come? Mata nasrullah? Unquestionably, the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will come. But before that, you have to go through trials and tests to prove your iman. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in the verse the reason behind testing people. And the reason behind that is to know those who are truthful in their iman and those who are not sincere in their iman. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not test people with only evil. Sometimes he tests them with that which is good. He says in Surah Al-Anbiya, وَنَبْلُوكُمْ بِالشَّرِّ وَالْخَيْرِ فِتْنَةِ وَإِلَيْنَا تُرْجَعُونَ. We will test you with moments of difficulties and with moments of ease so that we can get to know those who are patient and those who will despair, those who will be grateful and those who will be ungrateful. If you are grateful and practice patience, then your abode will be Jannah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made Jannah a retribution for doing good. Jannah is not cheap, and only the deserving ones will make their way to Jannah. Whenever the reward is great, the cost is high, and only those who will pay the price will get that which is promised. If you want to go to Jannah, and you are not ready for or not expecting any sort of trial and tests, then you are just daydreaming. A believer should prepare himself for a lot of trials and tests. And if he overcomes all that, then Jannah will be his abode. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu sbiru wa sabiru. O you who believe, be patient and endure the trials you face. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala explains in Surah Al-Baqarah the kind of tests which he may put man to, which he may make you face. He says, وَلَنَبْلُوَنَّكُمْ بِشَيْءٍ مِّنَ الْخَوْفِ وَالْجُوعِ وَنَقْصٍ مِّنَ الْأَمْوَالِ وَالْأَنفُسِ وَالثَّمَرَاتِ وَبَشِّرِ الصَّابِرِينَ الذين إذا أصابتهم مصيبة قالوا إنا لله وإنا إليه راجعون. الذين إذا أصابتهم مصيبة قالوا إنا لله وإنا إليه راجعون. أولئك عليهم صلوات من ربهم ورحمة وأولئك هم المهتدون. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, he will test you with something of fear and hunger. وَلَنَبْلُوَنَّكُمْ بِشَيْءٍ مِّنَ الْخَوْفِ وَالْجُوعِ. And loss of wealth, lives and fruits. وَبَشِّرِ الصَّابِرِينَ. And give glad tidings to those who are patient. Who are these that should receive glad tidings from Allah? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us their attribute and says, الذين إذا أصابتهم مصيبة قالوا إنا لله وإنا إليه راجعون. They are the ones when calamity befalls upon them, when they face a disaster, they say to Allah, we belong and to Him we shall return. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then mentions that which they will get for their patience. He says, أولئك عليهم صلوات من ربهم. They will get blessings and forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wa rahmah, in the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wa ulaika humul muhtadun. And they will get guidance from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They will be the rightly guided ones. Ya subhanallah. Look at the many good things that they will get in exchange for their patience. The first thing they will get is salawat, blessings and forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The second thing they will get is rahmah, the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The mercy that we pray for day and night. The mercy that we hope for. The mercy that will save people by the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the big day of resurrection. They will get that mercy for their patience. وَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُهْتَدُونَ. And they are the ones who will get hidayah, guidance from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We seek guidance from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at least 17 times every day. And the patient ones will get that guidance for being patient at just one strike of a disaster. That's how great sabr is. That's how beautiful the results of patience are. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, يا أيها الذين آمنوا استعينوا بالصبر والصلاة إن الله مع الصابرين. Oh, you who believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, seek help through prayer and patience. In another verse, Allah says, وَاسْتَعِينُوا بِالصَّبْرِ وَالصَّلَاةِ. Seek help through patience and prayers. It is a fact that the servant is either in a blessing, he is enjoying a blessing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which he should thank for, or he suffers a calamity, which he should be patient for. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is stated in the verse, وَاسْتَعِينُوا بِالصَّبْرِ وَالصَّلَاةِ, that the tools which help ease the effects of afflictions are prayers and patience. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam praised the patience in several ahadith, in several narrations. He says in a hadith narrated by Abu Malik al-Harith ibn Asim al-Ash'ari, الْوُضُوءُ شَطْرُ السَّلَاةِ. Wudu is half of salah. And saying Alhamdulillah fills the scale of good deeds. And saying Subhanallah walhamdulillah fills the space between the heavens and the earth because of the great rewards. And Rasulullah continues and says, salah is light, and charity is a proof of iman, and sabr is light, and the Quran is a plea for you or against you on the day of Qiyamah. We understand from this hadith that sabr is a very strong weapon which provides the mu'min with steadfastness. He becomes steadfast in his faith and believing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in another hadith narrated by Abu Sa'id al-Khudri, the hadith is in Bukhari and Muslim, and whoever would like to be patient, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give him patience. And no one is given something better and more comprehensive than patience. Luqman al-Hakim, when he was giving his son some pieces of advice, he didn't fail to mention sabr in those advice, in those pieces of advice. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala narrated to us in the Quran what Luqman said to his son, Ya bunayya aqim as-salah. وَأْمُرْ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَانْهَ عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ وَاصْبِرْ عَلَى مَا أَصَابَكَ إِنَّ ذَلِكَ مِنْ عَزْمِ الْأُمُورِ. Oh my son, establish salah, enjoin good and discourage people from doing evil, And be patient on that which strikes you. Be patient on the trials and the tests which you will face. Wasbir ala ma asabak. Remember the hadith which Abdullah ibn Abbas narrated from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The hadith was about a woman who was given the bashara of Jannah for being patient on an illness she was suffering from. Atta ibn Abi Rabah said, Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma said to me, would you like to see a woman from the people of paradise, a woman who is among the dwellers of paradise? Atta ibn Abi Rabah said, I said, yes. Then Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma pointed a woman who was passing nearby and said, that black woman, she came to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and said, Ya Rasulullah, I get attacks of epilepsy. So invoke Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for me. Pray Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for my cure. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, if you wish, you will be patient and you will enter paradise because of being patient on that illness. And if you want, I will pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to cure you. She chose to be patient. She said, I will be patient, Ya Rasulullah. But pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that I don't get uncovered whenever I become unconscious. Pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that the clothes don't fall off me when I became unconscious. Look at the modesty of that lady. She is still worried about her hijab when she is unconscious. She asks Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam to pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that she doesn't get uncovered whenever she falls unconscious. It is very unfortunate today that some of our Muslim sisters do not care about hijab. The honor of a Muslim lady is in wearing hijab. Hijab is compulsory and not a choice. Hijab is a religious obligation and not a social custom. Leaving hijab might lead to going to Jahannam, wal'iyadu billah. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Sinfani min ahli nar. Two groups are among the dwellers of hellfire and I have not seen them yet, meaning they will come after Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And one of those groups Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned and said, Nisa'un kasiyatun ariyat. Women who don't cover their bodies, they uncover what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has ordered them to cover. The ulama said when they explained the hadith, the commentary of the ulama on the hadith, that even those who uncover some parts of their body, not all parts of the body, but some parts of the body which should be covered, like the neck, the hair, and so on, they still stand at risk of going to Jahannam. Those who wear tight and transparent clothes also stand in danger of going to Jahannam, wal'iyadu billah. So Muslim sisters, let us be vigilant and careful about hijab. Brethren, if you want to know how noble it is to show patience when calamity strikes you, listen to this hadith from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The hadith is in Muwatta Malik. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, إذا مريض العبد بعث الله إليه ملكين. When the slave is taken ill, when he falls sick, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends two angels to him. Allah sends the angels and orders them saying, go and find about the situation of my servant. How has he received that illness? How has he treated that has come to him as qadr? When the angels come to the servant, they find him patient and praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He is patient and still he is praising Allah and saying Alhamdulillah, despite being pain and sickness. Then the two angels transmit to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala the attitude of the servant. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala already knows. He just sent these two angels so that they can be witnesses on the patience of that slave of him, Jalla Jalaluhu. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, if I take the soul of my slave, that is if he dies because of that sickness, then he deserves a place in Jannah for being patient. And if I cure him, then he deserves a better blood and flesh. That means a healthy body. This statement of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam acknowledges that some events in our life which appear to have no benefit for us are divine trials from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And there might be great rewards behind them. We just need to be patient and praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Never be discontent. Never despair. Whenever you are put to test or undergo trials, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tests those whom he loves most among his slaves so that he can forgive them and raise their status. So be worth the reward and show patience. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, great rewards come with great tests. And if the servant is patient and submits to the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when disaster befalls him, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives him his pleasure. And the one who becomes discontent and does not submit to the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then he will earn the wrath of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his displeasure. The more you are tested, the greater the reward. The more you become patient, the closer you get to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The trials which we face are different. Some may be tested with diseases, others with drought and insecurity and fear. Others may suffer losses and lose a lot of wealth. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave us a good advice. He said, whenever you are tested, don't look at those who are above you, who are better off than you. Look at the condition of those who are below you, so that you may thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for you are at least better than some of his creation. And you show sabr, because your musibah is better compared to some, to the calamity that's befallen on the slaves of Allah, so to other slaves of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will continue to test the believing man and the women in his life, in his children and his wealth, till when he meets Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he will have no sins to be punished for. Look at this hadith and try to comprehend the deep meaning of the hadith. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes the tests and the trials an expiation for the believing man and women and woman. Whenever he's tested, his sins will shed off the way the tree sheds off its leaves. All of us want the forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If it happens therefore that you are tried and tested, then have sabr, be patient, so that you can attain the forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, ما يصيب المؤمن من نصب ولا وصب ولا هم ولا حزن. A believer is not affected with sorrow. He's not affected with mental or physical anguish, with distress, with sorrow, with pain. And he shows patience, except that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala expiates his mistakes and sins for the patience which he has so showed. The best example that can be given for showing patience is the patience of Prophet Ayyub alayhi wa ala nabiyyina salatu wa salam. Prophet Ayyub is among the prophets of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned in the Quran. He was among the descendants of Prophet Ibrahim alayhi wa ala nabiyyina salatu wa salam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tested Prophet Ayyub. He was a very rich man, very wealthy. He had a lot of children. The ulama said his children were about 14, 7 boys and 7 girls. He had a lot of servants, vast pieces of land. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chose to put him to test, to see how he will react and respond to that. He was an obedient slave who used to feed the poor. He was a pious slave of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala among the messengers of Allah. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala still tested him. He faced several misfortunes. First, he lost all his wealth. He became poor. He was the richest in and around the place where he stayed. Suddenly, he became poor. All his children died. The 14, all of them died. It is very painful when you lose one or two of your children. Prophet Ya'qub alayhi salatu wasalam cried to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for 40 years just because Yusuf disappeared alayhi wa nabiyyina salatu wasalam. Imagine losing 14 children one after the other. That is how he was tested, Ayyub alayhi wa nabiyyina salatu wasalam. And he himself, he fell ill. He became sick. We don't know the kind of sickness. All the stories that narrate the kind of sickness are not authentic, saying that the flesh used to fall from his body and there are worms in all his body and he was thrown in the place of garbage. That is not right. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala purifies his prophets from such kind of disgust. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not tell us the kind of sickness. The sunnah of Rasulullah did not clarify the kind of sickness. All we know is that Ayyub alayhi salatu wasalam became very sick, so sick that he could not even stand up. He could not walk alone. All his friends abandoned him. Only his obedient wife remained with him to help him. One day she said to him, "Oh Ayyub, pray to Allah. Invoke Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala so that he may relieve you of this pain." Do you know what he said? He said, "I have been enjoying health, which is a blessing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for 8 years, 80. I feel shy to invoke Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for being sick only for 18 years. I will not pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala till I spend in sickness the number of years I spent in health." He's ready to bear 62 more years of pain and illness just for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala praises Ayyub and says, "Inna wajadnahu sabira. Ni'ma al-'abdu innahu awwab." We found him a patient slave, an excellent slave of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who used to turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala repeatedly. His wife worked as a maid. She had some wealth which she used to provide for with Ayyub alayhi salatu wasalam, and after a while the wealth was over. She had nothing. The husband is sick, he can't work. There are no friends, there are no neighbors, there are no relatives to help him. So the wife had no other choice. She used to work as a maid in the houses of people. This is not an ordinary man. He's the messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and his wife is working as a maid. Look at this test. And after some time, people even refused to allow her to work in their houses. They feared that she might bring along with her the disease of her husband. Ayyub got to know that the wife cannot work anymore. One day he saw her bringing food and stuff to the house. He asked her, "Where did you get this money from?" She didn't reply, and he didn't insist on the answer. After a few days again, when everything in the house was over, she again bought new things. He asked her, "Where did you get the money from?" And this time he insisted. She removed the cover from her head. She removed the scarf. He was shocked. There was no hair on her head. He asked her, "What happened to your hair?" She said, "You know, I can't work anymore and you are in this condition. So I shave parts of my hair and sell so that I can buy something for us. When that gets over again, I shave the other part of my hair. I go and sell that so that I can provide for food for us." When he saw now the condition was unbearable, he's not the only one who was suffering, but his wife was also suffering, he decided to supplicate to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One day she took him to the place where he used to go for the call of nature. She could take him there and then she could stand away from him. When he finishes, then she comes and takes him back home. One day when he went to relieve himself, he prayed to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala narrates to us in the Quran, where Allah says, وَأَيُّوبَ إِذْ نَادَى رَبَّهُ أَنِّي مَسَّنِيَ الضُّرُّ وَأَنْتَ أَرْحَمُ الرَّاحِمِينَ. And mention Ayyub when he called out to his Lord, and he said, أَنِّي مَسَّنِيَ الضُّرُّ وَأَنْتَ أَرْحَمُ الرَّاحِمِينَ. Adversity has befallen me, O Allah, and you are the most merciful of the merciful. That is the dua he made after 18 years of suffering. He didn't say, "Allah, I have been patient all these years. I am in a lot of pain. I lost my children. I lost my wealth. Oh Allah, why are you testing me?" He didn't complain. Even in his dua, he is patient. "Anni massaniya ad-durru wa anta arhamur rahimin." Adversity has befallen me, and you are the most merciful. You know my condition, oh Allah. That is enough. In another ayah, وَأَيُّوبَ وَاذْكُرْ عَبْدَنَا أَيُّوبَ إِذْ نَادَى رَبَّهُ أَنِّي مَسَّنِيَ الشَّيْطَانُ بِنُصْبٍ وَعَذَابٍ. Remember when our servant Ayyub called out to us and said, "Shaitan, indeed, Shaitan has touched me with hardship and torment." That's what he said. He didn't even say, "This has come from you, O Allah." He says, "This has come from Shaitan." Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala cured him in minutes. Urkud bi rijlika hadha mughtasalun baridun wa sharab. O Ayyub, strike the ground with your foot, and this is a spring of calm bath and drink, cool bath and drink. He just hit the ground, spring came out, he drank from that and took bath from that. And he was cured. The wife who was waiting for him at a distance wondered, today Ayub is very late. She came to know what happened. Ayub came walking. This is unusual. She didn't even recognize him. She said, did you see Ayub? Did you see that sick servant? He said, I am Ayub. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has cured me. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala changed the condition of 18 years in just minutes, in just seconds. That is the reward for being patient. There are only three lessons that I will say from this story of Ayub alayhi salatu wasalam. The first lesson is the lesson of sabr, which we have explained in detail in the whole khutbah. The other lesson is that Ayub never complained to human beings. He didn't even complain to his wife because of the pain he was going through. Al-Qadi Shuraih one day saw a man who was complaining to everyone he met. Whenever he meets someone, this man complains. Qadi Shuraih called him and said, why are you complaining to fellow humans? They can do nothing for you. Pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he said, I will tell you something. No one knows. You are the first one to know. For 15 years, I have been seeing only with one eye. And no one knows that apart from you. I have never complained to fellow human beings. Pray to Allah. So whenever calamity befalls you, you don't need to complain to others. They can't be of any help to you. Pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He's the most merciful, the most powerful, the most supreme. He is the one who can change conditions abruptly, jalla jalaluhu. The third lesson I will say about this story is that when you show sabr, when you endure, when you become patient, and then pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the change will come suddenly. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will change your condition in a wonderful way, in a way that you are not even expecting. Be patient, and when the right minute comes, invoke Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. With that, I would like to call it a day. Whatever I have said wrong is from myself and shaitan. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his messenger are far away from that. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive me for the wrong I have said, and I apologize to you, to all of you. And whatever right I have said is not because of my knowledge and effort, but by the guidance and will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وما أريد أن أخالفكم إلى ما أنهاكم عنه إن أريد إلا الإصلاح ما استطعت وما توفيقي إلا بالله عليه توكلت إليه أنيب أحب الصالحين ولست منهم لعلي أن أنال بهم شفاعة وأكره من تجارته المعاصي ولو كنا سواء في البضاعة جزاكم الله خيرا.